You know, we have like these Unibrew recipes, you know, like we like to cook, because the way I brew beers, I use spices, flowers, and all the ingredients that you can find. And very often, like inspiration for my beers, they start in kitchen and vice versa. At some point, you know, when you think about La Fin du Monde, what I think is really interesting is the fact that it pairs so well with so many things, so many cheeses, so many different dish. It's very versatile. When you cook with this beer, you can use it at different sauce, different occasion, and it's always a good experience for people. And that Fin du Monde, people at the event, sometime I meet, they say they don't like beer. Oh no, I'm a wine person. You know? Most of the time it's like the white, they come with their beer guy at the events and say, no, sorry, I don't drink beer. And say, you gotta give it a try, you know? And they love the experience drinking the Fin du Monde. It's so complex with all the different notes that you can find there, floral, fruity, spicy. So that makes it a very versatile beer.
I'm Len Davis, founder, editor, and publisher of The Beer Connoisseur, inviting you to download our Beer Buyers Club live stream happy hours and podcast, where we invite beer lovers to purchase highly rated and rare beers and to bring those beers to our live stream show where the brewers themselves provide guided tastings. These unique events allow beer club members to discuss these hard-to-find beers with fellow connoisseurs and to ask the brewers questions in our brewer Q&A segment. The podcast is available on all major platforms. We encourage you to join the Beer Buyers Club for free at beerconnoisseur.com/beerbuyersclub. You will receive weekly e-newsletters detailing the latest beers, live stream events, and podcast episodes. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Cheers.
Hi, I'm show host Doug Piper, and before we get into today's show, it's important to acknowledge our beer club partner, Tavor. Want to know how to turn your fridge into the best craft beer bar around? Well, just download the Tavor app, and you can easily purchase fresh, highly rated, hard-to-find beer from U.S. craft breweries delivered to your home or business. Also enjoy a $10 account credit after spending $25 with discount code BC2020. Download the app today. Welcome to our show. I'm Doug Piper, and I'm talking to Jerry Vietz of Unibrew, located in Chambly, Quebec, Canada. Now, Jerry proclaims himself as a simple man, but his resume would suggest anything but that. Prior to joining the brewery in 2003, he'd studied applied science, food biochemistry, science and technology of malting and brewing for 8 years. That, of course, coincided with plenty of experimental concoctions that he was eager to share with family and friends. He also describes himself as having a pretty profound relationship with yeast. And all this led up to his appointment in 2007 as the brewmaster at Unibrew. Now, Unibrew has earned over 374 international medals. La Fin du Monde has earned 56 gold and platinum medals by itself, and Blanc de Feu won the World Beer Award for the best pale beer. Unibrew 17 was ranked the world's best dark beer. Now, before we move into Jerry's guided tasting and discussion of La Fin du Monde, a 9% Belgian triple with a 91 exceptional rating from the Beer Connoisseur, we'll begin with Jerry sharing with us some of the unique things about Unibrew out of Chambly, Quebec, Canada.
Sure, we're very, very proud of our success for sure. And it's so fantastic. You know, I didn't start actually in brewing. I started in the world of cider. Then I moved to the world of wine, and finally I landed in the world of beer with Unibrew in 2003 as a brewing manager, director of brewing operation here. And since then I touched pretty much everything at the brewery, from continuous improvement, maintenance, budget, everything, you know, related to management. You know, we're the first, very proud to say we're the first brewery in the New World in Americas to specialize in bottle and keg reformatted ales, and soon in canned reformatted ales as well, because we're investing right now $15 million in a brand new can line at the brewery. We were forced to do that, obviously, with the trend on the market. I know Paul mentioned, you know, the hard time he has and the delay on the cans. So we're kind of going through the same thing here, you know, at the brewery.
Well, everything I've had from you so far is bottles. Do you do some canning also along with it?
Yeah, we started to can, and it's a recent investment, actually. So we do have cans. I explained a little bit more about, like, we have a variety of products right now, and, you know, those are the cans. So I can tell a little more later about this once we are done with the description.
Well, speaking of that, now, before I mess with mine too much, now, you had told me there were some special ways that you would like this handled, which is a little bit different than most triples that I've ever dealt with. Can you walk that through us a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So basically, you know, when we have like these beers, especially for the 750 ml bottle like this, we want to make sure that we swirl the bottle. It's our pouring ritual, I like to say, because, you know, all our beers are reformatted in the bottles. So basically, we use the same process they use for champagne. When we package the beer, it's flat. We dose precise amount of yeast and priming sugar. And then we store in warm room for weeks, allow natural carbonation to occur in the liquid. So by doing this, you make sure, especially for a large bottle, you make sure that the yeast will, if this glass will be clear, you can easily see what I'm talking about. The yeast will come back in the liquid to have an homogeneous liquid. It's very important precisely for these large bottles, because you want to make sure you have, if you pour in two or three different glasses to share with people, we like to share the moment. You know, it's one of our slogan at the brewery. So we want to make sure that everybody has the same experience. So if you don't do this, then you pour, the first glass will be very clear. Then you pour the second glass, will be slightly hazier and then muddy at the end. So basically you have four different beer coming out of a single bottle, you know. So you want to make sure to avoid that and put back the yeast in suspension. The reason why we want to do this, very often I know people want to stay away from doing that and keep the yeast at the bottom and just pour very gently and leave the yeast in the bottle. We never reuse our yeast, so we always pitch with fresh yeast. There are a few reasons behind that. First of all, we use multiple yeast strains at the brewery, so we are very afraid about cross-contamination that will change the profile of the beer. And also the fact that we're using multiple ingredients such as spices, herbs, flowers, fruits. So these like particles as part of the settlement with yeast, we don't want them to convey in another profile of beer. So for that reason, we do propagate fresh yeast every week at the brewery for the different beers. So we never reuse them. So the yeast is very happy, and the yeast will not convey a flaw in the beer.
I think you've already opened yours, but I'd like to pour mine now. And as I pour it, do you mind going through some more descriptions?
Yeah, sure. First of all, La Fin du Monde, we released in 94, so 1994. It's a triple, a Belgian-style triple, obviously, because we're located in Canada. So this beer is, as any triple, higher in alcohol, but we conceived this beer to make sure that it's very well balanced, so you don't get hit by etylic notes or like very boozy kind of a feel. So you want to make sure that you have these notes of alcohol at 9% very well integrated in the liquid. So when you look at that, obviously, you see the head, it's very important to mention because the beer is reformatted. It's probably, I'm not sure if it's very clear for the folks that look at the video here is you look at this fizz, you know, that fizz is very interesting to mention that it's the re-fermentation is responsible for very tiny bubbles. So it's like comparing a champagne with a sparkling wine, let's say. So that re-fermentation that occur in the end of the bottle leads to very fine bubbles. And these fine bubbles are also very responsible for the head that you have, the very nice creamy head there. Look at this beautiful liquid gold. We like to say our Fin de Monde, by the way, is our champagne of beer, but also our liquid gold, you know. And that champagne-like effervescence, it's very pleasant in the mouth as well. It has, the beer features delicate, spicy fennels and balanced malty and fruitiness. At the end, you know, it's to me the perfect balance between that maltiness, that fruitiness and spiciness that you can hope for in a beer. Again, you know, we earned, as you mentioned earlier, 56 international medals among the 374 medals that we earned. So that's our most awarded beer with 33 gold and 13 platinum medals. And also Fin de Monde as one was also named world's best triple 2 years in a row at the World Beer Awards in London, UK, which is pretty much the Olympics of beer. So we're very, very happy about the success of this beer. I would say the ongoing success, because, you know, when you think about that, we released this beer first in 1994. And I mean, brewing a beer is one thing, but brewing it with consistency, that kind of artisanal beer with consistency and make it the same experience for our consumers, batch after batch for that many years now, you know, so very happy about the success of this beer.
Well, I think it may be the first beer I've ever had where the head, minutes after the pour, continued to build. That's a four-finger head. Still.
Yeah. And it could remain like this for minutes and minutes, you know, if you don't take a sip. So it's like I like to compare it to a cupcake, you know.
I was about to say it looks like dessert. It really does not look like a beer. Yeah. That is phenomenal. And the glassware, Jerry, I mean, you have your name and signature on it. That's a first for me.
Yeah, that's a glass, actually. There's a story behind anything at Unibrew. So that glass came from a funny story. It's another series of beer, actually. That glass was designed for our series Blonde de l'Enfer you were talking about is part of that series. We have Resolution, we have 17 Grand Reserve, Lune de Miel, different beers. And those are, like, let's say, winter seasonals and very, most of the time, high-rated beer by Beer Connoisseur, obviously, and other also international awards that we won. So very nice glass. And, you know, it came to happen, this glass, I had to mention very briefly, is I was in Vegas for the release of La Resolution back in 2015, and we were ready to do a video around the release of the beer, and we realized at very last minute that we didn't have any glassware, Unibrew glassware, and since I was videotaped and everything, so I was looking for a glass that will do the perfect experience, lead the perfect experience for the Resolution, which is a dark ale. It's a Christmas ale with nice spicy notes. I went at the bar and started to drink the Resolution that was on tap from different glassware at the wine bar. And that's the one I picked. We slightly modified this, you know, as a design. But that was the sommelier glass that was picked. And finally, it became the glass that we use for all our specialty brew.
I wish I had a dime. I think I could float it on it.
Hey, Jerry, how many different glasses did you have to try before you found the right one?
Oh, boy. That was such a long day, a long week, I would say. I tried probably at least five different glasses that we tried and pick. Okay, that one puts more emphasis on the aroma.
Yeah.
And you can find a video. There's a video on the web about that. And you see the glass. It's a generic glass, obviously, because that was the night that came the idea, you know.
Yeah.
On spot. And it could look like people so uncomfortable because nobody wanted to tell me that they had no glassware. And they knew how important it is for me because we have different glassware for right. all our beers, you know?
I was thinking they're trying to just hand you a shaker pint and call it a day. Can I say one thing really quick?
Because I had
a little moment for a second. Is that funny? The first, as homebrewers start, they start and they make clone beers. My second beer that I ever brewed, and I'm sure it was spot on, was a Liffin de Monclon. So thank
cool.
you. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, especially when we first started to release the beer, it came at the time that we really first started to export our beers as well, because we've been exporting all over the planet, you know, and when you look at that Fin de Monde here, Japan, you know, that's a very old bottle, you know, but it's that one was in Japan. And when you look at this bottle here, especially released for Europe, because we had to make like a legally kind of lighter version, you see 8.4.
Sure.
So a Fin de Monde light, you know, for Europe, for our friends in Europe. You know, that was at the time we first started to distribute the beer in US as well. And the beer became so popular back then because the scene of craft brewery wasn't the same it is today, obviously.
Right.
And that beer became so popular that people started to name the brewery La Fin de Monde Brewery. And that...
Guilty as charged right there.
And that you see the Unibrew logo, that the first one was with the wings, but that's when we decided to start to put the Unibrew logo on the foils to communicate our consumers. This is not the only beer we have, you know, we have also many other beers. Back then we had the Blanche and the Mozit, and then came the Raffman, the Obenit, and so on, you know.
Yeah, I definitely knew you as the La Fin de Monde Brewery for sure.
Yeah.
Thought it was your flagship. Cool. And that was it, you know.
Yeah.
Right on.
And you know, I talk about the balance. I think it's really important. Anyway, it's a characteristic of the triples, you know. We're very proud to with this triple, obviously, but you know, at the same time, when I look at this, is we need to have something higher in alcohol. You know, we're in the north. You know, we're your friends from the north, so it's getting cold most half of the year here. You know, it's crazy. Even like at night this week, we started to drop below 50. So, and we're still in the middle of the summer. You know. We need these high octanes to keep us warm.
Sustained through the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is a scary 9%, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
You would not know it's there. It's really.
I've seen so many folks, you know, coming back when I gave conferences and classes and stuff, and, you know, bringing beer there and going out for dinner with the organizer and then coming back and seeing people like, walking and having a hard time because you only drink that, but you don't feel the alcohol. So when people, they're not used to Unibrew.
Until you stand really, up.
Yeah, it's easy to fall in the pitfall, let's say.
Yeah.
Jerry, let's move into the questions, if that's okay.
Yes.
But I think your beer really stole the show. That was phenomenal. Really photographed well. Greg says it is so easy to drink, but Lynn's asking, can you find Unibrew in Australia?
I'd like to take a brief break and encourage you to join the Beer Connoisseurs Beer Buyers Club and club partner Tavor. Turn your fridge into the best craft beer bar around by just downloading the Tavor app. There you can easily purchase fresh, highly rated, hard-to-find beers from U.S. craft breweries, and they're delivered right to your door. Snag a $10 account credit after spending $25 with discount code BC2020. Download the app today. Join the Beer Buyers Club for free at beerconnoisseur.com/beerbuyersclub. You'll receive weekly newsletters detailing the latest beers. You'll also receive access to both the live stream and podcast episodes of the Beer Connoisseur Happy Hour. Join us today and be our newest Beer Buyers Club member. In our next segment, We resume with Jerry Vietz of Uni Brew, located in Chambly, Quebec, Canada. He's also joined by three additional brewers: Dave Colt, the co-founder of Sun King Brewing in Indianapolis, Indiana; Paul Leshefsky, the head brewer at East Brother Beer Company in Richmond, California; and Dave Witham, founder and president of Proclamation Ale Company in Warwick, Rhode Island. The segment begins with Jerry's answer to a viewer's question about the availability of Uni Brew in Australia.
There's a guy in Australia that keeps writing to me on social media since 2009. That's when we stopped distributing in Australia. It doesn't mean that we won't, because at some point we reached a maximum capacity of the brewery and we were starting to have our own market suffering from that. So we had to stop gradually exporting in Australia, in Europe, and also South America at some point. But gradually we are reopening these markets now. So we have our beers available in different countries. I don't think that Australia is still there, but that guy, I remember when he realized that Uni Brew will no longer be available, made like the big loop around where he was, and he stole all the Uni Brew bottles he could find, Terrible and Fin du Monde and Maudit, and he grabbed them all at home. So he had enough for at least 2 years, you know, and he was sending me posts, him opening these precious bottles, you know, until the end. And this is like the very last bottle I have.
It sounds like COVID.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. That was a pre-COVID. I'm your number one fan.
Well, we got to go through these questions quick. Well, apparently, Jerry, this is somebody you know. Jerry, Brian, the photographer from Boogie. Did you make any special brews that sing the blues?
All my brews can sing the blues, and Brian knows about that.
That sounds like an inside conversation.
No, that's okay. It's a photographer from one of the events I always attend. My for that many years, I don't know, maybe over 10 years, you know. Unfortunately, they had to cancel this year. That's the same weekend they had Woodstock, and it became like a tradition. So I'm there for vacation, but it's very hard for me to be there on vacation for the reason that you know. So always a good time, though. Look forward to be back there. It's in New Hampshire. Very nice fest.
Chris asked, Jerry, what's the backstory behind your trademark bowler hat?
That's a very old... Actually, I started to wear bowler hats, different hats at the end. Bowler hats way before I started to work with Uni Brew. But when I joined the brewery, at one event I had this hat, and you know, people, they got familiar to this hat, and then I showed up at other events and people, hey, where's the bowler hat? So that became the main object of conversation at some point. I even like met journalists asking me about and just writing a full story behind the hat. So at some point, you know, rather than showing at one event and having to answer questions about the reason why I'm not wearing my hat, I decided to wear my hat. So that's one of the reasons why I wear it today still.
I love it. It does appear to be your signature. Yeah. So Chris asked, Jerry, what's your favorite aspect of Le Fin du Monde? The flavor or the aroma, or is there another aspect? Maybe the bubbles.
To me, the Fin du Monde, my favorite aspect, first of all, I'm really big on dark beers. So my favorite kind of beer. So I look forward, Paul, by the way, to try your stout. Next time I'm in US, you know, after we're done with dealing with that COVID thing, I make sure I look for your stout, you know.
I'll bring some. You're going to be easy to spot.
Yeah, bring some in Quebec. You know, I love every beer as its occasion. What I really like about the Fin du Monde is so versatile. Let me explain. You know, we have like these Uni Brew recipes, you know, like we like to cook, because the way I brew beers, I use spices, flours, and all the ingredients that you can find. And very often, like inspiration for my beers, they start in kitchen and vice versa. at some point, you know, when you think about La Fin du Monde, what I think is really interesting is the fact that it pairs so well with so many things, so many cheeses, so many different dish. It's very versatile. When you cook with this beer, you can use it at different sauce, different occasion, and it's always a good experience for people. And that fin du monde, people at the event, sometime I meet, they say they don't like beer. Oh no, I'm a wine person. You know, most of the time it's like the white, they come with their beer guy at the events and say, no, sorry, I don't drink beer. And say, you got to give it a try, you know, and they love the experience drinking the fin du monde. It's so complex with all the different notes that you can find there, floral, fruity, spicy. So that makes it a very versatile beer.
Jerry, I'm just admiring the lacing on the glass. That is one beautiful beer. And by the way, Chris said he thought that you might have a beer hiding under your bowler.
No, that's where I keep all the ideas, though, to brewing the next beer. So,
he's right. Touche. Chris asks, what role does yeast play in the taste flavor profile?
Oh, yeast.
Le oh, Fay du Monde.
My good friends. Yeah. Yeast, you know, to me, I dreamed about yeast for years, by the way, when I did my studies. I mean, yeast to me, it's everything. You know, we're talking about malts earlier with Paul. You know, I have the same connection or relationship with yeast that Paul has with malt, you know. And I like to say that yeast is the signature of the beer. So I tried for some of these beers to brew the same recipe with different of our yeast strains, and the result was always different, you know, from a yeast to another. So definitely has an impact on the overall flavor. And the fact that we don't overpower any aspect of this beer, so the yeast has more room to open like spicy phenols. And as the beer, what I would like to mention as well is the shelf life, because the beer is not pasteurized and is alive. So the beer ages beautifully as well. So the shelf life of this beer is 3 to 5 years, but I already cracked like bottles, 6 liter bottles of Fin du Monde at even from 2000, 2 years ago in Philly, and it was phenomenal still. But, you know, as the beer ages, the yeast will also change the character and the flavor of the beer. I already opened a Fin du Monde that tasted like Pear Williams. So many pear notes that I don't normally get in this beer, but just by aging and the way it age and open and gain complexity over aging, it's very beautiful. And yeast is responsible for that, obviously.
Well, in the last few minutes, I have a quick question. And then I'd love to hear what's new coming from Uni Brew. Mm-hmm. How long could you age this? You know, I've got this nice 750. How long could I age it? And would you recommend it?
The shelf life that I set the shelf life for these beers, the shelf life that I have, the bottle you have, you probably have a best before on the neck. So it's 3 years.
2 years.
That's a recommended shelf life. But I tell you, no doubt with that type of beer, you can age up to 5 years, probably even more, but depends on the taste of everyone. Some people, they like it fresh. Some people, they like it with a little aging. So it depends on preference of the different tasters, let's say.
Well, that was fantastic. So what can we look forward to from Uni Brew?
But, you know, we talked about cans because obviously we don't suffer as much as the other folks, because these bottles with the corks is pretty different, you know, as an experience. So we still have good market for the bottles, but at the same time, people look for cans today. So we have like this this series that we decided to release 2 years ago. It's called Autre Chose. By the way, Autre Chose means something else. And the reason is simple. You see, India Pale Lager, So we have this IPL here with the guy, you know, brewing, steering the magic potion there. So we already released a peach IPA. That was the first one, a ginger session ale. That was the second one. And recently IPL, India Pale Lager. So those are styles that we explore outside of the Franco-Belgian style re-fermented. So those are forest carbonated and different styles outside of the DNA of Unibrew, let's say. So something very interesting to try. And that will be the series that will probably come out with a style, Paul, you know, as an example. The other thing also that we have going on, and I don't have visual right now because I asked for the labels or the packaging, but it will come in only next week. We will release a very special beer. It's another triple because we've been asked to brew a hoppy triple for so long. So that will be a Belgian hoppy triple re-fermented. And as a, the fin du monde, to surf on the awareness of the fin du monde, we will call the beer, ce n'est pas la fin du monde. It's not the end of the world. So you'll see the same thing, that beautiful province of Quebec and with a good portion of North America as well. But rather than having the gold color, representation of what you have, you know, the color of the beer here, you have the green forest, you know, and I use nice modern hops from the New World in this beer to offer a very good experience once again with a triple, but with much more punchy on the hop and bitter side, let's say. This beer will be available in a mix pack sometime in US. I don't have exactly the details around that, but you have to stay tuned for this.
Do you have a sweet spot for Le Fin du Monde, like date-wise? And then I'll let it go, sorry. Wanted to ask like 10 minutes.
No nasty things online today, but yeah, I do have some experience. Obviously, with these iOctanes, you can't go wrong. So most of the time, you know, this is a lovely beer, so you have to go lovely with this beer, you know.
Cool. All right. Well, Jerry, this has been a lot of fun. And what an experience, and what a beautiful glass, what a beautiful beer in the glass. Still has some head and still lots of bubbles, just like champagne. So,
Jerry,
cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
See you guys.
I want to thank you for listening to today's show, and I encourage you to join our Beer Buyers Club by signing up at beerconnoisseur.com/beerbuyersclub. You'll receive weekly newsletters detailing the latest beers and more information on our live stream happy hour events and podcast episodes. We hope you'll join us for the next Beer Buyers Club.